590 WKZO, it is the trifecta. Roger, maybe Jim, this is Jim, maybe Roger will stop by. We don't know. We're waiting. We're gonna switch topics here at the top because I've seen some stuff on Facebook and I've seen some comments from other people that I've talked to. Thanks for joining, by the way.
Coming into the show already in progress.
Yes, but I know why, so it's not a big deal. We're going to flip topics because this one we actually have an expert in studio that's going to help us. What are you looking around for? You're the one.
Oh, I was looking for the expert.
You are the expert. So I've seen some stuff on Facebook and I've seen some other things about this situation. And in case you're wondering, on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, you hear Eels.
I can't look at the rocket launch.
I do like this song.
It is a cool song. And we're waiting because we got to sing at the end here.
Birds.
There we go. However, not all birds fall into this category, as we have discovered.
Correct.
The Michigan Department of Natural Resources working with to eliminate all of the mute swans that are in Berry County. And I've seen comments on Facebook that decry this thing. Oh, my God, this is horrible. What? Roger, by the way, has forgotten more about birds than most of us will ever know. And, of course, you can listen to Birdwatch on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. And so we are going to defer to you, my feathered lover of feathered friends. And you actually think this is a good idea.
I guess, yes. Okay. Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly.
I guess I don't think it's a bad idea. Would be okay. A better way to put it.
Okay.
As we go forward because of climate change and other things, we're going to be faced with some really ugly decisions that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
In Oregon right now, there is a debate going on about killing a Native American species, barred owls, to protect a really endangered species, the spotted owl.
Mm-hmm.
And the barred owls dominate a territory, and they drive the spotted owls away. And spotted owls have such a limited range anymore because there's so few of them that will further endanger an already endangered species. And so they've made the decision that they're going to have to eliminate barred owls. In the northern Lower Peninsula, a decision was made to trap and euthanize cowbirds as in an effort to save the Kirtland warbler from extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be facing some somewhat ugly choices. And if it was, if I had to do it, we would not kill these swans because I'm a wussy boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't kill anything.
Okay.
If I had to kill what I ate, I'd be a vegetarian.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to hunting. And I think if we really want to allow the trumpeter swan, the native swan of the upper Midwest, to come back, we need to take the mute swans off all these lakes.
Now, how did the mute swans get there?
Mute swans were brought to this country because rich people liked them swimming in their ponds.
Mm.
And to my understanding, the first of the swans brought from Europe were put on Lake Charlevoix.
Okay.
And they have spread from there to, even back when I was a kid, on Boardman Lake right there in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
And they have spread to cover most of the Lower Peninsula. And mute swans are larger and more aggressive than trumpeter swans, and they're going to drive the trumpeter swans off their lakes, and they win those disputes. And we hunted trumpeter swans almost to extinction, like we did sandhill cranes. And we're not making the progress we had hoped in restoring their population because of the mute swans.
Okay.
And so with all that as background, sadly, I would find it hard to discourage the DNR from removing mute swans. Think of them as swimming house sparrows.
Okay.
They're a non-native species that have no natural role in our environment here. It's like European starlings.
Okay.
They were brought to this country because rich people wanted to see any bird that was mentioned by Shakespeare to be seen in Central Park. Mm-hmm. And so rich people with their money trapped and brought European starlings and released them into Central Park, and we see what happened with that. Well, sort of the same thing is happening with mute swans. They've taken over the state, and they really don't belong here.
So they're going to take 5 years to do this. So let me ask you this, because we, at my apartment building, for instance, Canadian geese run crazy,
mm-hmm.
or ran crazy, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And the Department of Natural Resources didn't kill them. They just relocated them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is no place in Michigan to relocate mute swans?
No, there's no place they're native
anywhere.
Here.
Okay.
And there's no natural place for them.
Okay.
Barred owls would be difficult, but that's a possibility as Oregon grapples with this spotted owl issue, because they do have a natural place in the environment. But unless you want to send them all back to Europe, there's really no natural place in North America for a mute swan.
So we have a texter that asks, do they taste good?
I don't know. I've never eaten
had swan.
One.
Yeah, I've never had swan.
I don't eat.
So
I eat a lot of poultry. I eat birds, but not swans.
Has the DNR kind of indicated how they're going to initiate the program? Is it going to be maybe a combination of killing some of them and possibly using birth control measures on other ones, so that the mute swans that are out there do not reproduce?
Well, the problem is that mute swans are very long-lived birds.
Okay.
And, you know, in the songbird species, if you interfere 1 year, you can make a dent in a population of something.
Mm-hmm.
But mute swans live very long lives, and they're losing 1 year's offspring really isn't going to have much impact on their numbers in the long term.
Okay. Now, if you were to venture a guess on how the DNR is going to handle this, do you think they issue hunting licenses, or do they trap? I mean, is there any specific way that the DNR might, just from the
current
wealth of knowledge that you have concerning birds?
The current administration, I've got no idea what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As we see in their decision to kill wolves in the UP, they don't use science as a basis to make these decisions from. They apparently make political decisions. And so my guess is this too will be a political decision. And they'll find the least offensive way to these supporters of mute swans to eradicate them.
Okay. Interesting.
But the current DNR is not staffed by the organization itself, but the Game Commission and the political appointees are not science-based individuals.
Okay.
So I got no idea what they're going to do. It's what the political winds tell them to do.
Okay. So I was trying to read a little bit more about this, and the DNR obviously is going to have to issue whatever permits they are going to use to cull the birds, which is a nice word of saying kill them. Some people, however, have said that, and I guess apparently they are not afraid of people and will actually have been known to attack people on the jet skis and also swimming.
My father was the, in my childhood, was the janitor supervisor for Building 88 at Upjohn. And one of his people saw the swans defecating. See how gently I put that?
Yes, I noticed that. Thank
defecating
you.
On the patio outside Mr. Parfait's office.
Ah.
And he went out with a broom to shoo said swan off patio, and the swan broke his leg.
Oh yeah, with a wing.
And yes, my father, they had to take him to the hospital, and yes, it was a bird attack that injured the guy. No, they are a large bird with very powerful wings, and they can do harm to people.
You wonder.
They're much more aggressive than the trumpeter swans are. That's part of why there's a problem and why the two species of swan can't coexist.
You're wondering that is Barry County going to lead a parade of other counties, like you said, up north, you know, possibly, you know, in Charlevoix and Grand Traverse County and Antrim and other counties where there's a mute swan population that's maybe causing some issues.
Well, see, part of the reason I'm thinking Barry County is involved is that that would include most of Yankee Springs.
Mm-hmm, and Gun Lake.
And Gun Lake is too populated to be of much use for wildlife anymore. But Yankee Springs has a number of uninhabited lakes, and many of them have loon living there and nesting that far south. And I'm thinking those little lakes are also getting mute swans.
Okay.
And that's a disturbance in the force. And I'm thinking that's why this movement to take out the mute swans came from Barry County.
Okay. All right.
That's conjecture. I'm making that up.
No.
But
well, I think it's a plan that obviously has been thought about, and it's gonna have its detractors because you're obviously killing animals that some people believe that they shouldn't be killed. And I imagine that we're probably going to see the four-letter word rear its ugly head at some point in time.
There's five letters in Roger.
PETA.
Oh.
PETA.
Well, that's going to come depending on how they choose to
do this.
Take them.
So, all right, so we're going to ask you your definition. Hobby farm. What does hobby farm mean? We'll talk about that next. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. WKZO, it is the Trifecta. It's Roger, it's Jim on a Thursday, the penultimate day of the week, but the first day of August 2013.
Weren't we going to give away some tickets or something today?
Soon.
Oh, okay.
Soon.
I just was thinking about that.
Oh, no, I got it in the back of my head. Trust me. I do.
Okay.
All right, so there's a farm out in Antwerp Township.
Really?
Yes. Many farms.
Oh,
but this particular
you're talking
one,
about a particular one.
This bet. Particular farm, yes, indeed. They were told earlier this year that their farm was in compliance with the rules and everything of the township.
Okay.
Now they're being told that they have 90 days to meet some sort of requirements that are not in line with what they have. In other words, they have a horse, a flock of chickens, five ducks, some young turkeys, and two donkeys. Apparently,
and
they
a partridge in a pear tree.
Not that I know of, but we could always call them and ask them. But according to the township zoning officer, they're allowed to have one horse and one donkey, or one horse and three fowl, or 13 fowls. That would be one horse and three chickens, or 13 chickens, or a horse and a donkey, or. So as you can see, they're apparently in violation. Here's the issue. The State Right to Farm Act allows any farmer who is complying with the generally accepted agricultural management practices called GAMPS, G-A-A-M-P-S, to be exempt from township regulation designed to limit farming activities. Now, before you get up in arms, this is what's known as a hobby farm. And a hobby farm is when I talked to Rick Shields, our ag guru, a hobby farm, even though a lot of farmers have second jobs, like in town or whatever,
mm-hmm.
a hobby farm is like a farm. It's like people from suburbia moving out into the rural areas and maintaining a small farm because they want it as a sidelight. You know what I mean? They're not going to necessarily be, that's not going to be their primary function. They're not going to be farmers. It's going to be a hobby as opposed to a vocation.
Okay.
So the state's Right to Farm Act says basically that any farmer who's complying with the GAMPS is exempt from township regulation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This farm apparently is in compliance with GAMPS. It's also possibly going to be certified under the State Agriculture Environmental Assurance Program. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, Bob, be on time. According to a law coordinator for the Department of Ag and Rural Development, he seemed to indicate that small farms are protected the same way the big ones are. But some people believe that because they call themselves a farmer that they're protected, and that's not necessarily the case. They don't know whether it's because people complained, neighbors have complained or whatnot. That's not known, because if somebody did complain, they're not coming forward. It's going to be a situation that's going to be, why do I think this is going to court? Because everything else goes to court.
It's local government and state government going to have a fight.
The area, according to the zoning ordinance in Antwerp Township, the area where the land is zoned R1, which has permitted uses including, quote, hobby farms, livestock farms, and similar bona fide agricultural enterprises or uses. Now, therein lies the rub, I believe, in that there is no, we would have to get a Department of Agriculture definition. What defines a hobby farm? Are there specific guidelines as to what a hobby farm contains, or what's the maximum amount of animals you can have? If not, then this is an incredible gray area where you really can't say, well, no, you can't do that. Well, yeah, maybe they can. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. What's going to happen basically is the Antwerp Township Planning Commission is going to meet on August 2nd and 7th, and then the Township Board is going to meet on August 13th, and there's public comment in both of those, and it's going to be interesting to see how many people come out and support and whatnot.
I got a question for
you. Yes?
I got distracted by a phone call.
Uh-huh.
What happened between when the township gave them a clean bill of health, what did you say, 90 days ago?
And then now
when all of a sudden they've got a problem.
I think I mentioned it while you were on the phone. I believe this because somebody complained, or there were complaints made about the farm itself. Now, the thing is that if somebody did complain, they're not coming forward, and rightly so, because you know, that's obviously would instigate some bad blood. But there's no real reason, I guess, and township officials aren't saying anything because this possibly could be litigated. And you know, you know how, I mean, township, city, government, kind of anybody. Really
Bill
don't
Schuette's
like,
got a lot of money.
Don't like to comment on things that could come back and bite them because of the simple fact that they say this or this or this. And, you know, it's, you know, okay, well, maybe not. I don't know. What I'm guessing is more than anything else is this. It's going to come down to a strict interpretation of the zoning ordinance. And I guess I'm going to bring it up again. If there is no definition of what a hobby farm is in the zoning ordinance, then somebody's going to have to come up with an explanation.
I think that may be the more critical issue.
That's going to be the crux. Is there,
the state law says this is okay to have a hobby farm.
Uh-huh. So
now,
what is a hobby farm?
Is this a hobby farm will be the question.
And what is the definition of a hobby farm? And does the Michigan Department of Agriculture have a definition of what a hobby farm is? Are there specific limits to what you can have? Because I guess it's my understanding that if that zoning ordinance in Antwerp Township does not specifically stipulate that these are the benchmarks for how many animals you can have, then
caller just drew a parallel between this and Alamo Township deciding they needed a noise ordinance.
Oh, really?
Well, and I hope Antwerp Township has a well-funded legal fund because Bill Schuette's got money.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he's got time, and he's going to see this as a state's rights issue.
Yeah.
And he's going to think the state can walk all over Antwerp Township.
Well, you know what? If it's not a clear, there's no clear definition of what a hobby farm is, I can imagine that these people are probably going to win their case. We'll see, but I mean, it's interesting.
Or this is just going to languish in the halls of Antwerp Township, mm-hmm. and nothing will ever come from it.
Yes. Well, just make sure you don't make a lot of noise doing it, because you know what happens in Alamo, you know, with Alamo Township.
Yeah, you have to be quiet.
So there's this movie, Raj.
Maybe those donkeys were baying too much.
Or the horse or the chickens or something. So there's this movie, Raj.
Yes.
Called Paranoia.
Really?
It's a cyber thriller.
Okay.
And it's going to come out on the 16th of August.
Who's in it?
Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman. A cyber thriller in that there's a low-level employee for a company who plays a prank, and in order to get himself out of hot water, he's asked by the president of the company he works for to go undercover at their rivals. And it looks to be quite a lot of fun.
Harrison Ford is... Yes. I like Harrison Ford.
Yes, indeed. So here's the thing.
The thing?
Here's the thing. We have five pairs of tickets.
Really?
To give away for this.
So 10 people are going to go to the movie on us?
10 people can go to the movies on us, courtesy of Celebration Cinema.
God, we're nice.
We try.
Yeah.
But here's what you have to do, okay?
Uh-huh.
You have to text the word Ford.
As in the car?
As in Harrison.
Oh.
And your name, first and last name. Don't just text in Ford, because if you text in Ford, then we can't win
So you need the name of your car
I have a Chevy, but, you know.
Oh, you
so
can't
anyway,
do that.
Ford as in Harrison Ford, who's one of the stars, and your name to 80373, and you could be the winner of one of five passes. Passes, five pairs of passes.
Yeah, you and a significant other
can go see a wonderful movie called Paranoia.
Free on us
and Celebration Cinema.
And
so that is
does
your
Ford
test.
Have to be spelled correctly?
Yeah, F-O-R-D, yeah.
So F-O-R-R-D doesn't count?
No.
Sorry, Tom.
All right, CBS News is next. Local news as well, and we'll be back. Oh, and guess what? We're going to talk about Detroit.
Ooh.
Oh. We haven't talked about them for a while. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. It is the trifecta. It's Roger and Jim. Just a programming note. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Gene Clem, who we talked to earlier in the week on the phone. But he's going to be here in person tomorrow. So that'll be cool.
And you and I'll be here too.
Yes, we will. Okay, so...
Lord willing.
Lord, yes, and the creek don't rise.
Yeah.
So here we go, Raj. You ready?
Where are we going?
Okay, to Detroit.
Okay, I'm going down I-94.
Yeah. Oh, but before we do
here's the big tire.
Mickey came in during the break.
Yes.
Was talking to me. Did we get any notification of some grass fires up south of Wayland on 131? And so I'm going to ask any kind of a tipster. If there's a situation up there, I guess somebody was in the gawking lane and was watching some of this stuff. If there's some traffic issues up there and you happen to be in it, give us a call or text us. You can call us at 877-382-4280 or text 80373. Just let us know what's going on if there is a traffic stoppage so that we can get it on the air.
Boy, that would be strange. I mean, we've had so much rain. The ground is so wet. Interesting that there would be grass fires.
Mm-hmm.
Callers, let us know what's going on. Now we're intrigued.
For what it's worth. All right, so here we go.
I'm going down I-94.
Yes, we're going to Detroit.
I'm approaching. There's the big tire.
Detroit voters have an opportunity to provide an example for the rest of the state.
Do they get to vote anymore since they've got a dictator?
Yeah. And at the same time.
What do they vote on?
City council and mayor.
Oh.
And to possibly take control back from their city at some point in time.
From their EFM?
From their EFM. Now, here's why. Let me explain some of the choices that Detroit has made. They elected Kwame Kilpatrick, first of all.
Shrewd move.
Yes. They also elected Monica Conyers.
Don't know
who was crooked.
Oh.
Barbara Rose Collins.
They've had a string of...
I'm even going to throw Kwame Kenyatta and Joanne Watson in that category, although they're trying to look out for the best interest. Not crooked, but just not real good choices.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, they did elect Dave Bing. Okay?
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it was a good thing.
Okay.
Dave Bing has been a very...
So all bad until they got to Dave Bing.
Not necessarily.
Bing is okay.
I don't think it's all been bad, but they've been real haphazard in who they elect and who they don't elect. And coming up, they have an election. They're going to be able to elect council members from their own neighborhoods, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have the opportunity to look through the candidates, choose people who have Detroit's best interest at heart, to pick people who are going to help be part of the solution rather than a possibly part of the problem. But the big thing that Detroit voters have to do is they have to vote. Traditionally, usually, they get between 15% and 20% of registered voters to participate. And that's just not going to cut it this time. With the eyes of the city of Detroit, or the eyes of the country on the city of Detroit, because of bankruptcy, because of an EM, because of all of this consternation, every time Kwame's name comes up, they have a pretty tough task in front of them. You have a traffic note?
Uh-huh.
Good. Fire away.
Speaking of firing away, it appears the grass is on fire.
Uh-huh.
In four or five places.
Yeah, this was a multiple.
Near door.
Yeah, okay.
And that. Remember the time we had some people who drove up 131 and threw inflammatory devices out of their car? And they burned and multiplied? Because this woman said there's fires in four or five different places, unrelated.
You know, I thought,
what a coincidence.
I didn't think that was. I thought that there was somebody driving with a trailer and a chain that kept hitting the ground. And it was really, really, you know, like extreme fire, you know, issues. And this chain kept sparking, and sparks would fly off the side of the road. and started the fires. Yeah,
well, then
remember,
we may have a situation similar to that
so
today.
Okay, so is this on the southbound or northbound side?
Southbound side. Okay. She said the fires are all on the west side of U.S. 131.
Okay, so they're on the...
But there's multiple places that the traffic has stopped because when she went through, the fire trucks were just beginning to arrive on the scene.
All right, so southbound 131 between exit 68 and probably exit 64, with Doris being 68 and then Whalen being 64, is slowed or stopped, and you know what's happening in the other lane.
She said it is all north of Martin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, all right. Well, if you're heading that direction, southbound on 131, you haven't reached exit 68 yet, you're going to want to get off at exit 68 and then find another route.
Look into the distance and the direction you're going. If you see smoke,
get off the highway. You got that right. So, all right. So, picking up the discussion again, 15 to 20% usually vote in the mayoral elections. Voters in the city of Detroit have got to pretty much make their presence known, I think, this time, Raj, and set an example for the voters in the rest of the state that, number one, they care about their city. Number two, they're willing to care about their city by doing the due diligence they need to do. Did we use due diligence twice in the same show? Wow.
I believe so.
Man.
What's that mean, by the way?
To do your due diligence, to perform to make the effort to get the information necessary to make an informed decision. Do your due diligence.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing. So anyway, and then at third, and most importantly, come out in the numbers that would indicate that you really do care about your city and what happens even after the EM is gone. Because that's what's going to happen. This city council is going to be in a situation where they have to make some decisions at some point in time, including possibly getting rid of the EM. Who knows? But, I mean, bankruptcy is kind of in limbo right now, given that it's in court. Voters in the city of Detroit have an opportunity to take a stand, to make decisions that are informed and are in a sufficient number that you can understand that they are willing to come out and vote for who they need to vote for. So you've got to look at candidates that are going to be pro Detroit, not pro them. You know, doesn't matter if you like them. Martha Reeves of Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. She was elected because she was a popular name. She was a Detroit icon, but she couldn't do anything on the council because she was out of her wheelhouse. Like we said, Barbara Rose Collins was a fashion plate, had a rhinestone tiara. Monica Conyers was crooked and believed that the world of Detroit revolved around her. Kwame Kilpatrick, enough said. But the city of Detroit voters have an opportunity here. And one of the things that they may have to do is decide, do they want a candidate who is a write-in candidate to be their mayoral candidate? Because pretty much if you're the Democratic candidate in the city of Detroit for mayor, you're probably going to get it. You're probably going to get the nod. That's pretty much the way it is. I would have to go back and look. See when the last time a Republican mayor was elected in Detroit? I'm not sure in this century or last century, but I don't know. I'd have to look back. But they need to do their homework and pick people that are going to help Detroit come out of this better than it was before. Now, why is this setting an example for the rest of the state? Well, because I'm going to harp on it again. Those of us who vote in the state of Michigan have to challenge
our
candidates. Ask them questions that indicates that you've been paying attention to what's going on. You put candidates on the spot. They need to answer for their actions.
But I can't do that, Jim.
You have to.
I'm shy and retiring.
I don't care. Find somebody who can.
Okay.
Okay? Find somebody who can. This is the election that we have to put our foot down and say we're not going to take this crap anymore. A la Peter Finch and Network.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And every stinking election, it happens over and over and over. You let candidates run over you, or you don't ask the proper questions, or when you do ask the proper questions and they don't give you the answer that you want, you don't pursue them. And it's seen as being rude or arrogant if a voter pursues a candidate if they don't answer the question properly. No, answer the question. Yes?
We have grass fires now on the east side of U.S. 131.
Okay.
And that's beginning to impact the northbound lane. And if that's not enough. They're painting the lines on the road in the same area.
In Plainwell.
Yeah.
In Plainwell. So that's about 10 miles south.
But they're heading 15. North.
Yeah.
And they go some distance. And so we may add painting lines on the road to the confusion near the grass fire.
Yeah. So my
happy commute home, everybody.
Yeah, you may have. I think old US 131 is going to be really busy today.
Yes,
very busy.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. I was just gonna finish up. And I mean, I know I'm just you know, it sounds like a broken record, but you know, you get tired of stuff happening over and over and over again. Detroit's voting participation has to go up this election. It has to. Normally 15-20% more people have to come out. They have to make more informed decisions. You need people who are going to get together, that are going to work together to try to help Detroit come out of this situation. And they need to come out en masse because this is a very, very important election for the city of Detroit. And the people of Detroit who have been bellyaching because their city government has pretty much flushed the city down the toilet for the past several years, if not decades. That the simple fact of the matter is, voters in the city of Detroit have an opportunity to change that. Extrapolated out, coming up in the next election, the people in the state of Michigan have a chance to change things. But you have to make the conscious effort to do it. You know, and the problem is that Roger accuses me of being too optimistic sometimes. Not in this case, I'm not. I'm a cynic. I really am. You're going to have to show me.
Mr. Pollyanna?
I've been called that a couple. But not when it comes to the voting. I am going to be the worst cynic in the world because I honestly do not believe that the voters, either here or in the area or in the state of Michigan, will snap out of it. They're going to kowtow. They're going to just do what they normally do. And they're going to forget all about all the crap that's happened in Lansing and it's happened in Washington, and they're just going to, we'll just go ahead and vote because I know who that is. No. The phrase I've used before is holding their feet to the fire. You have to. And that's what's going to have to happen in Detroit. They are going to have to hold their candidates' feet to the fire so they get people that are going to help them get out of this.
Do you think Detroit should get federal aid? If a town is hit by a tornado or a hurricane, Detroit was hit by an economic calamity. Should that qualify for some sort of federal assistance to get back on their feet? I'm asking you.
I'm going to say no, and I'll explain why next. It is the trifecta. .590 WKZO, getting ready to wrap up this edition of the trifecta. It's nice to have had you along.
Me?
Indeed. Yeah, you. Oh, by the way, congratulations to our winners of passes to go see Paranoia.
Who are
Tina,
they?
Tina, Jeff, Derek, Darren, and Sherry. And they know because I sent them the message.
Oh, you're a good man.
Don't say anything. Do I think? No. I don't think federal. No. I don't think they need a bailout. Seriously. This was kind of self-inflicted.
You could argue that New Orleans built itself in a hurricane zone, and so that was sort of self-inflicted.
Yeah, but this...
I mean, they knew hurricanes come ashore, and they built their town there anyway.
Well, if that's the case, then every city that's along the seaboard should never get federal funding at all, or in Florida or anywhere else.
I'm just saying.
And there are some people who believe that, by the way, you know, because of what you just said. Because you know stuff like...
Oh, but, Rand Paul, yeah.
But,
he'd be one of the
but
people.
But, yes, and Ron, he and, Ron Paul...
Chris
Ron,
Christie
too.
Are getting Chris along Christie. Real well
oh,
these
yeah,
days.
Oh, you know yeah. That's going to happen.
They're buddies.
But for the same reason, you know, building a house in Kansas, or, you know.
Building schools in Oklahoma with no safe rooms for the kids.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, that's... Yeah, there's a whole lot of examples. But no, I don't think federal funding for Detroit should. I think they're going to come out of this and it's going to be okay. It's just going to be really painful. But the city's voters have an opportunity coming up where they can really go a long way to show people that they care about their city and they care about what's going to happen. So, there you go.
Thank you.
Indeed. Tigers are off tonight, by the way. They will play tomorrow. Boy, did they play yesterday. Woo-hoo! 11-1.
I know. I was visiting a friend yesterday afternoon, and his wife is a big baseball fan.
Me too.
And she had the game on,
I ended up
seeing part of it, and it was 11-1 some point.
Yeah, 11-1. That was the final score.
Oh.
Next seven games are against foes in the... AL Central, so we'll start with the White Sox tomorrow, 6:40 airtime, tomorrow on 590 WKSL.
I spent the afternoon in a room with a baseball game on.
I'm telling you.
We had the sound down. We were listening to music.
Wow. Leaps and bounds. Baby steps, baby steps. We'll see you tomorrow, 5 o'clock afternoon. News is next, 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.
Hey, Raj, guess what?
What?
I can't read a clock.
Oh, are we still on the air?
I can't read a clock. I swear to you, I cannot read a clock.
Oh, this one in here says 2 minutes
to five. Well,
I went a little
early. Let's just say that.
Oh, so we've got a vamp for
so
a few minutes?
We've got a stall for like another minute and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
What you want to talk about?
I told you, didn't I? Did I not tell you that I went? Did I not tell you? Now, see, Carolyn's going to come in and chime in. Did I not tell you that I had my eyes checked today and that I have a new prescription?
Yeah. This is perfect. Okay. I don't have my headset on, so I can't hear Roger.
That's okay.
Jim,
oh,
hey,
there you go.
Jim, how you doing?
There you go. Aha, uh-huh, see?
How much time do we have?
I had about a half a minute. I got my eyes checked today.
Yeah, I heard.
And they got dilated, and I'm, you know.
You want to know where I heard that? When I was driving on I-94 today. I-94 West.
Oh, I see. All right, so I couldn't read. I looked to me for all the world. It said 59, and it was 57. So
what? Whoops. You were expecting the ID to play, and it did not?
No, I played it about a minute early.
Oh.
So what's going to happen is you're going to hear it again.
In 22 seconds.
And, yeah, whatever. So. Well, anyway, let's do it again. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Is this the real end of the show?
Yes, this is the real end of the show.
Or is this another
fake show?
You
can go home now, Roger.
You can go home now.
I was almost out the door.
I know you were. 5 o'clock.
Do I get paid extra for staying over?
No, you do not.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590